in themselves and in those around them. Virtues like love, self-control, forgiveness. The Bible says that these virtues are only fully available to Christians, to those who believe in and have a close relationship with God. These virtues, the Bible says, can only be found fully and find their perfect expression in and through Jesus. And this evening I'm going to base what I want to say on two short passages in Paul's letters to the early churches, but I want to concentrate on one particular virtue, one particular aspect of Christian life, an aspect which the world, I think, is just aching to know more about. And I'd like us to start off reading from Colossians, the letter to the Colossians, and it's on page 1187 of the Blue Bibles, 1187. And it's Colossians chapter 3, and starting at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 12. Talking about the Christian life, the life of the Christian. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Through Jesus, we can attain to this. These are the things that we can put on in Christ. But I want to concentrate on verse 15, which says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Peace. As members of the Church of God, Christians are called to peace. Well, there are different types of peace. There's the peace that is opposite to war and conflict. And then there's peace, as in peace and quiet. And there's also inner peace, calmness inside. And I think the world is just crying out at this moment to experience more of all of them. Look around. All over the world there's conflict. Countries so quick to pick up arms against their neighbours. Look around. So many individuals with no peace in their lives, running around from one stressful situation to another. It may be to do with work, maybe to do with a family, finance. There's so much worry and anxiety, and so little peace. I was reading in The Guardian the other day. No, I haven't gone posh, it was just wrapped around my fish and chips. Anyway, I noticed that this week, just gone, was Quaker Week. And in between all the pages describing all the fear to do with finance and the economy, amongst all the governments, there was an advert from the Quakers, which read, no one telling you what to believe, just the peace and quiet to work it out for yourself. I think people want peace and quiet to work out what they really believe. We were thinking this morning, Sue was sharing with us this morning, why aren't people coming in? It's because there are so many things that take away the peace. They haven't got the peace to think. They haven't got the peace to work out what they believe. They need peace, and the world doesn't often give them that. Time to be peaceful. Time to be calm. Time to think. Peace. There's so many things that can rob us of peace, isn't there? When I was in Liverpool at university, I shared a house with some other students, and we lived in a normal terraced street, rubbing shoulders with normal people, if there is such a thing as normal people. And this particular year, we lived next to a family who had 9 children. Yes, 9 children. Peace? You're joking. It was the time when the musical Grease had just come out, with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in it. Before your time, probably, I don't know. No? Well, there was this line in one of the songs that went, "You're the one that I want, you're the one I really want, ooh, 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 honey." I'm sure you remember it. If I heard that once, I heard it 100 times a day, for days on end, non-stop. And then, of course, they'd be singing along to it. Need I say more? Peace? No chance. You travel on the bus or the train, you hear that jingle, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle. And what seemed like a pleasant journey just takes on a different character altogether. Hello? Yeah, I'm on a bus. Have you noticed? No one can speak quietly anymore on a mobile. There's no peace. You can't think straight. And you hear children and teenagers in the street. They don't talk to each other anymore. They shout and scream at each other. And whereas a little clapping would have been enough to say well done a few years ago, now it has to be accompanied by screaming. You notice that? There's no escape from the noise. There's no peace and quiet. At home, is it just me? I don't know. Or has the volume on our tellies been increased? We have the volume of our telly turned to the lowest possible volume before it goes off altogether. The volume just seems to be louder nowadays. Peace? Where can we find peace nowadays? Some people fly abroad. Flight company goes bust. They go on holiday. They find they're in a hotel room next to stay out late drinkers. They go to the country to escape the hustle and bustle. But in recent years they've had to put up with storms and floods. There's just no peace. Some people resort to drink or drugs to try and escape the noise of their lives. But they only succeed in finding a different kind of noise. There's still no peace. And all these add to our feeling that we just can't find peace in this world. It all adds to the stress and anxiety inside us. We're never at peace. There's always some noise which disturbs our peace, always some stress or concern which takes away any feeling of peace inside. And I think everyone yearns for a feeling of peace inside. Everyone needs peace inside, don't you think? Surely we should be able to experience peace in our hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Peace in our times? When will there ever be peace in the world? When will war cease? Unfortunately, we seem to hear of conflicts day after day, in all parts of the world. People killing each other constantly. Why? Colman McCarthy, an American journalist and peace activist last century, said, "Everyone's a pacifist between wars. It's like being a vegetarian between meals." He's right. It seems that certain people all over the world have a real and insatiable appetite for war. They don't want peace. In the same Guardian newspaper I mentioned earlier, I read of a peace meeting in Pakistan at the end of last week. 600 people came together to talk about peace and how they could have a peace settlement and establish peace in the area. A suicide bomber killed dozens when he blew himself up in the middle of that meeting. In the 60s and 70s we had people with long hair and pink coloured glasses going around saying "peace man" to everyone and having their peace demonstrations. I'm sure you remember it, Brian. But nowadays, even those who demonstrate to protest against arms and war end up in violence themselves. Look at the demonstration on the seafront. Even here, even this week, clashes with police. Peace? Some people just don't want peace. They prefer war. They prefer conflict. Why? I'll tell you why. They love power. They love to think that they're in control. They believe that while they have the power to destroy, they have total power in their hands. They love power. British Prime Minister in the 19th century, William Gladstone, said, "We look forward to the time when the power of love will replace the love of power. Then will our world know the blessings of peace." Now we're getting to the real point, I think. Let me read that again. We look forward to the time when the power of love replaces the love of power. Then will our world know the blessings of peace. The power of love. I'm not talking about the lovey-dovey sentiments of the 60s and 70s. I'm talking about something much more powerful than that. And the ultimate expression of the power of love was when Jesus died for the sins of the world. That was when the power of love was really shown. God is love, and God showed his love for the world in making it possible for us to have a relationship with him through Jesus' death and resurrection. This is the power of love. When people recognize this and understand that they don't have ultimate power, but God does, that's when peace will come. Not until then. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. I'm afraid this will never happen in this world, though, because there will always be selfish, power-seeking people. People who deny the existence of God, and so can't accept his ultimate power. What a damning statement on mankind. There will never be peace on earth while man refuses to accept the being, authority, and power of God. How can there be? How can there be peace while the creation, man, is at war with its creator, God? There is good news. There can't be peace for all in this life, but the good news is that there can be peace for some. For those who do recognize the being, authority, and power of God. How can we have peace? I said just now that there can be no peace while man is at war with God. God created man to enjoy a relationship with him, a life of loving, worshipping, and serving God. While we rebel against that, we will not find peace. While we refuse to acknowledge God's rightful authority over us, we will not know peace. While we demand the position of power, we cannot enjoy the peace promised by him who is God, by him who really does have the power. We read in Paul's letter to the Roman Christians, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Romans chapter 5. Christians have peace with God. How? Because we believe that Jesus took upon himself the punishment we deserve for our sins. Because he died, we are justified. That means that when God now looks at us, he sees that Jesus has brought us forgiveness through his sacrifice on the cross, and it's as if we had never sinned. We are free from the guilt of our sins, and so we have peace with God. We have been justified by faith in Christ. We have peace with God. Isn't this what the world needs to know? Peace with God is desirable, but it is also possible through Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, where Isaiah talks about the coming of the Saviour, one of the titles he gives him is the Prince of Peace. When the angels announced Jesus' arrival, they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Jesus is the one who brought peace to the storm and waves as they battered the boat his disciples were in. Jesus brings peace. As we read recently in our series in John's Gospel, when Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time when he had died, arisen and ascended to heaven, he promised the Holy Spirit to remind them of all that Jesus had said to them. Jesus said then, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The peace of God is a gift from God. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would bring the peace of God to his followers. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Spirit is the same. The promise is the same. Jesus promises his followers the peace of God. A little later in the same gospel, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John chapter 16. Jesus has made this peace with God possible. We find it in Jesus through his Holy Spirit. The difference between those who have found true peace and those who haven't is that some are still facing punishment for their sins, while others are not. Where do you stand this evening? Do you know forgiveness for your sins? Or are you still in your sins? Remember, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. If you know your sins are forgiven, you have peace with God. This is true peace. But let's pray continually for those who haven't yet found that peace. We can only know true peace, the peace of God, if we have peace with God. Let's come back to our verse in Colossians. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as the members of one body you were called to peace." There's a wonderful quote by the Bible commentator William Hendrickson, which says, "Peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer." That's lovely, isn't it? Peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. Peace is like the smile of God on the world, and we can know that favour warming our hearts and souls through his Spirit in us. We're right with God, we have peace with God, and that does us good. The peace of God, the peace of Christ, can rule in our hearts if we are Christians. Do you know something of that smile of God reflected in your heart and soul? It's so precious, it's so mysterious, it passes all understanding. Well, how do we know this peace in our day-to-day lives? Because, as we've already seen, there are so many things which would take away our peace. Can you turn now with me, please, to Philippians, which is the letter before Colossians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, where we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God is mysterious. It passes all understanding. We will never understand the peace of God fully. We will never understand in our earthly life how we can have peace with God. We can enjoy the peace of God in our lives, but we will never understand it. Insignificant men and women like us, with all our weaknesses, having wanted nothing to do with God until he broke into our lives, we can be right with God. The God who knows everything, who made everything, who can do anything, who is forever. How can our limited minds take that in? How can we understand it? We can't. that we have peace with God passes understanding, but the peace of God passes understanding too. We've just read, don't be anxious, do not be anxious about anything, implying that we can have peace in every situation. Every time things go wrong, every time we or those near to us are in trouble, at all these times we can know the peace of God. That's a bit hard to take, isn't it? The peace of God, it says, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we read. That's what we read. We won't understand it. God's peace passes understanding. But we must see that if we have peace with God, we can know the peace of God in every situation. What's our experience? I think if we went round the congregation this evening, we would be able to tell of many times when we knew a strange peace, a strange calmness, where we least expected it. We thought we would be fearful or anxious or worried, but miraculously we weren't. We didn't understand why we were so peaceful at the time, but God was near us. God gave us peace. Our hearts and minds were being guarded in Christ Jesus by the peace of God. I want to ask you, do you know anything of this peace in your heart and mind? Even when the world seems to be turned upside down, do you know the peace of God which passes all understanding? Do you go through turmoil? Are you often fearful? You don't need to. Peace is promised to those who have found peace with God through Jesus. I'm not saying we'll always find peace in every experience. I'm saying perhaps we should. But we won't, because we're still human. We're still living in a sin-filled world. We still like to go about solving our own problems rather than turning to God. But as we get to know God better, when we see His love and mercy more and more, as we understand more about the riches that can be found in Jesus, then we will learn to walk closer with Him, our trust in Him will increase, and we will know more of His peace in our lives. Someone once said, the peace of God means being grateful for His past mercies, being conscious of His present mercies, and being certain of His future mercies. If we've known God's loving dealings with us in the past, if we know His presence with us now, if we have the hope of eternal life in us through Jesus Christ, then we will know the peace of God. Trusting in the Father, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. To be practical, let's look back at our passage in Philippians, and what do we find to help us with how to know more of this peace? Well, it's about the way we are. Verse 4 says, rejoice. We're to be a joyful and a praising people. We can rejoice because we were lost, but now we're found. Verse 5, we are to let our gentleness be evident. We can love those around us with the love that we have found in Jesus, who is near to us at all times. Verse 6 tells us we are to be a praying people. Don't worry, pray. God answers prayer. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And we are to be a thankful people, verse 6. To be a thankful people. God has done so much for each one of us. We should be continually thanking Him for all His goodness and mercy towards sinners such as us. Do these things characterize our lives? Are we joyful? Loving and gentle? Prayerful? Thankful? We can know the peace of God that transcends all understanding, because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So where do you stand this evening? Do you have peace? Do I have peace with God through having your sins forgiven because Jesus died for you? Are you there yet? I would urge you not to delay. It's a gift from God. Receive it from Him today. Do you know peace with God, but somehow don't seem to know the peace of God in your daily life? Pray. Because God has promised this peace to all who believe in Him. He wants you to be thankful and rejoicing. He wants you to know He is near. You can know that peace in your heart and mind. We can all know a greater measure of this peace as we go through our lives. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have made it possible for us to be at peace with our God. We thank you that we, the created ones, can have peace with the Creator. We can be one with you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus and all he has done in his death and resurrection to win that freedom for us, to win that peace for us. And we thank you that we can know that we are at one with you. We pray, Father, that as we live our day-by-day lives, we will know more of your peace within our hearts, within our minds, within our souls. As we live for you, may we know you more and more. May we know more of your love at work in our lives. May we know more of our standing before you. Father, we do pray that you would work this peace in our lives. May we trust you. May we pray to you. May we cast all our worries upon you and know that you take care of them because you care for us. Father, fill us with this peace that we might be thankful, we might be rejoicing, we might be a witness to you, we might shine like stars for you, that people will know that you have done a work in our lives, that you are real, you're alive, and they can know you too. So Father, bless us each one. May we know your Spirit at work amongst us and in each one of us individually, that we might come closer to you and live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.